And so let's start on my Hebrew page, the first one, which is the Tshuvos of the Rif. I've arranged these Tshuvot more or less chronologically as according to author rather than according to subject, which is the way he organizes the material. And I have not collected all of the sources that he brings because some of this material is a bit repetitious. And I have not, and there's a whole body of material that he brings which is not from the Jewish teshuvah literature, but rather from the acts of the courts, of the Spanish courts. So he has access to all kinds of material, which is very interesting, and which I don't have access to. So a lot of that is reported on in this particular article, and some of it is new to me. There's a whole spectrum of topics ranging from adultery to premarital sex to bigamy or polygamy to prostitution to the issue of concubines. All of these shed a whole lot of light on the actual behavior. I remind you again that we're dealing with the Tshuva literature, which means that there was a problem that came before some rabbi. So as I said, it's like going into a hospital and seeing that there are a lot of sick people there. There's a selection process, so you have to be a little bit careful in trying to generalize from the Tshuvot themselves as to what the actual normal behavior is. But I think we can sort of get some kind of a picture. All right, so let's start with the first, which is the Tshuva of the Rif, Siman Ayin Gimel. So now we're dealing with, an 11th century Tshuva. And here the issue is the amount of evidence that is needed to force the separation of the husband from the wife on the basis of adultery. Okay? So, we all have this. Reuven nasa Leah. Reuven married Leah, the Shama. V'shaha ima shana, and he was married with her for a year. V'yashimon b'yoto chatzer. In this particular case, Shimon is actually Reuven's brother. That's not necessarily so, since usually Reuven and Shimon mean simply Mr. A and Mr. B. But in this particular case, that happens to be his brother. V'halach v'choklim dinat hayam l'skora. And the first of the Tshuva pages. I don't have. So if you go to the end of the English. You got it, right there. All right. Reuven nasa Leah v'shaay mashana v'haya Shimon b'otol chatzer v'halach v'chok l'mdinat hayam l'sfora. So he went on a long business trip. V'nishar Shimon b'chatzer echad im eshet achiv. And Shimon was staying in the same courtyard as his sister-in-law. U'kishabar Reuven matza et ishto yoledet. He found that his wife was giving birth, or Ubikesh Ladaberim Shimon Achiv, Yamarlo Ale Lamata Lin Imi, come down and stay with me. He suspected his brother of having had an affair with his wife. Umein Shimon Laila Shtele Lot Layash Ochheveti Mahem Bavata Khatu Pama Khatik Dimru Uvain Lakum Latvila. Reuven got up early to go to Davin, Umatsa Leah Ishto Shokheretim Shimon Achiv Batalit Echad, that she was sleeping with her brother in law under the same blanket. Vagaar Baba Amar Bahonas Ashena Nitkal. He got angry with her, and she responded, it's just that I was in the middle of the sleeping, I reached for the cover, and it turned out that it was his cover, and I covered myself with his talit. I thought that it was you, rather than your brother. He saw her speaking to him, whispering, because he saw that she was in love with him. He wanted to test her. And when he wanted to beat her up, Reuven screamed out to all of his neighbors that night, and reported the entire incident. And he brought witnesses. She ipam b'chutz medaberet and misha eino hagun. Sometimes she goes out and speaks to disreputable characters. V'yachakach hitnuima anshei ha'ir shelo yadaber la'olam im Shimon. She was warned by the people of the town not to have any further conversations. In, what is it? Criminal conversation is the word in English? What's the legal term?
Incriminating?
No, for illicit sexual act. Isn't that something? When you wife is sued for, or a man is sued for criminal conversation. Well, she was warned not even to speak to him, and they saw her speaking with him. In general, they were concerned that there were all kinds of rumors, but no hard evidence in the form of two witnesses that there was actual sexual intercourse between the two. Tshuva. Kach ra'inu. This is our opinion on this matter. Shema'aseh zu meguna biyoteh. This is a very disgusting business. But no legal action can be taken in terms of a criminal prosecution for adultery when there are fewer than two witnesses. He cannot divorce her unless he's willing to pay the entire amount of the ketubah. If there were witnesses that saw them, two witnesses that saw them sharing the same bed clothes, yotzah shelo b'ktuba, kemo shamu rabotei zal, elo yotzot shelo b'ktuba, ha'overat al dat Moshe v'yehudit, ezu dat yehudit, yotzah rosha parua, v'tava b'shuk, v'madaberot yukal adam, v'perushu medaber shemesacheket im habachurim. In other words, if the wife has been the testimony to lewd behavior, then he can divorce her without paying the ketubah. The im nadin shetetzei v'elu ha'inyanim, if the woman can be divorced without receiving her ketubah payment in these types of matters, kol sheken shetetzei al ma'aseh sheshesav asta. Certainly, she would be divorced and not be entitled to her ketubah if there were witnesses to the fact that she behaved in such a manner. But the husband is not believed in this matter, since he's a party. This is a monetary issue as to whether he has to pay the ketubah or not, and therefore he is not going to be believed. If he wants to divorce her, let her take an oath that she was not guilty of any of these things he was accusing her of. It's like a person who's holding an IOU. And the lender says, "But I don't owe you anything." Because she has the ketubah in her possession, it's as if she has an actual deed, and therefore a note, and therefore unless he can bring two witnesses to verify his statement, he's obligated to pay the whole. Well, that's a general principle that you can, then when there's insufficient evidence, she can, all that she has to do is deny it and take a shvat hesed that there was no, that she's not guilty here. But basically, if
she... Why would she have to take any shvat at all?
I'm not 100% sure why, but that's his decision here.
What's the main thing, Bob or Amon, to
do? He cannot be. He is not to be believed in all the things that he said about his wife's behavior.
But generally, a husband and wife can't testify.
Well, whatever. But in this particular case, since he can't bring two witnesses to the effect that she has been guilty of all of these things he's accused her of, then he cannot be relieved of his financial obligations on the basis of this. Okay. Here, let's go to the next. Also from the list. As I said, I'm organizing this according to authors rather than according to subjects, and here the issue is one of the rights of a first wife when the husband takes on a second wife. Misha nasa al ishto isha acheret. A man took a second wife, v'herviach le'achat she'er k'sut va'una, and he's giving to one, presumably the second wife, a substantial amount of support and sexual activity, and is cheap with the other one. He's giving her the minimum that was found in the Gemara. that a man, the amount of money that a poor man normally has to give to a third party to maintain the support of his wife when he's no longer living with her. Hayesh min hadin kein olo. Has he fulfilled his obligations by giving the minimum legal amount to the first wife or not? Tshuva. Yesh min hadin litein luzu acheret she'er ksut va'ona shelo b'tzimtzum. He is obligated to give to the wife he's trying to give the minimum to, the amount without being cheap about it, the amount which is fitting according to his financial circumstances and her financial circumstances, she improves her financial circumstances by marrying, but she doesn't necessarily have to go down. Lishniya, if he, after giving to the first wife the amount that a respectable wife would normally get under those circumstances and is fitting for the a man in his financial status, it doesn't matter how much more he gives to the second wife. In Choshishinlom, Shiyesh Misha Ohev Isha Achat Min Hashnaim, Ve'en V'kach Kol, because it's possible that a man may prefer one of his wives to the other, and there's nothing wrong with that. Kamo She'ne'emar B'Yaakov, they have gamet Rachel Mileya. That Yaakov Avinu preferred Rachel Mileya, and therefore this wife, this man has the right to prefer one wife to the other in terms of giving one wife more attention and more money than the other, but he doesn't have the right to pay the first the wife he dislikes or doesn't like as much the minimum. Uftiv namu bi al kanaki et chana ahev. But the issue of giving the minimum amount of money by depositing a sum to a third party, that's talking about if the man is impoverished. If the person is a respectable man, and if the issue is that he's not providing sexual satisfaction to his sexual relations with his wife, he is not allowed to go beneath the normal form of sexual activity that he's obligated to do, and there's a list as to, depending upon what his profession is. And if he refuses to have proper amount of sexual relations with his first wife, even if the man insists that he doesn't only wants to have sex with he in his clothes and the wife in her clothes, she can enforce him to give a get and pay the full ketuvah. Shenahag ba minhag parsiyim. In other words, if he's minimizes in the amount of physical affection that is normally expected, that's also grounds for divorce. And certainly if he deprives her of sex entirely. So here we have a pretty realistic picture of a situation. We can extrapolate that this was a community in which wealthy men were in the habit of taking on a second wife. Polygamy was an accepted fact, and of course this is undoubtedly influenced by the Muslim society in which the Jews were living at this time in Spain, and the realistic picture is that the man may prefer one of his wives to another, and the rift decides that he cannot, nevertheless, he cannot just simply give the first wife the minimum due or be unwilling to fulfill his connubial obligations. Okay. Now, here comes the next shuvah, which is, there is a seventh volume of the Tshuvot of the Rashba, which are called the Rashba, those Tshuvot which are Miuchasot LaRamban, that are attributed to the Ramban. And some of them actually are Tshuvot of the Ramban, and some of them are Tshuvot of the Rashba. And somehow, sometimes it's difficult to tell which is which. This one is definitely of the Ramban, that's why we read this one first. It's a famous Tshuva. Hey Shiv HaRamban Zal Rabbeinu Yonah is Zeichat Tzadik LeBracha Ish Elokim Kadosh Arav HaChassid Rabbeinu Yonah Shlomcha V'Shlom Torahcha Yigdal La'ad V'Yaskel HaNetzach Higiyanu Mitzvotcha V'Inyan HaPilegesh L'Hodiachcha Ba'Da'ati. al derech ha'emet. You asked for my opinion on the issue of the concubine. Lo kano seva lo tein.
Not the Rambam is usually the Rambam refers to kabbalah.
Here it doesn't. Here he was just asked to give his final opinion without going into all of the argumentative details on the issue of whether a man was or was not allowed to keep a concubine according to Jewish law, a mistress. That's the current word for it. I think so. Below yadati b'mayis tapkuba. And I don't know what the issue here is. The vadai mutarati. Certainly a man is allowed to keep a mistress. Kevan shiyachdala atzmo. Because this, she is specifically his mistress. This is, we're not dealing with a case of fornication, but we're talking about a woman who is associated with a given man. Shalone esra isha bezmutli Yisrael. The only time that a woman was prohibited from having unmarried sex amongst Jews, El midrasho shel Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, nimtza ach nosei achoto v'av nosei bo, bito al zeh nemar umaleyah ha'aretz zima. The problem with having unrestricted sex is that we don't know who's the father of the child, and therefore you might end up with relatives marrying each other. Aval kishenichnasa beito, when she is actually brought into his house, he's if she is known as his concubine, her children are certainly identified as being his children, and this is permissible. There's no difference either in the Gemara or anywhere else between a king or an ordinary citizen on the issue of the permissibility of a mistress. Umatzinu gadolei Yisrael nos inotash and emar ve'ifapi legesh kalev yalda v'gedon shavtan shel Yisrael shidver bo k'tuv bo v'ilachsho asher v'shchem yalda lo v'im tomar sh'ashofet harei hu k'melech mapnei sh'nohev sh'rora al hatzibur. The reason that this is allowed to a shofet is because he's a well-known person, known to everybody, and therefore his private affairs are public. You will then have entered into an impossible situation where you can't draw any kind of a line. In other words, you would have to be, say, have to have a kind of a criterion to decide which people are sufficiently famous that they could be allowed to maintain concubines. Therefore, there isn't any such line. If the woman is known to be so-and-so's concubine or so-and-so's mistress, then it's permissible. Upilegesh begiva ilu haita sura lo lo ha yomar katuva yikamisha ha yelach achreel diva yomar vianarel chotno. The father of the concubine in that case was called the father-in-law of the person in that murder case. Gam hu mitpayesh bezimato ela shaya hadavar mutar v'nahug v'Yisrael v'hu omer v'olchaz v'pilakshi v'natcha ki asu ziman v'ala v'Yisrael miklal shehu lo haya osel lo zima v'ala. So certainly, according to biblical law, the Ramban says, there's nothing impermissible about maintaining a mistress. Shema tomah min ha-Torah mutaret u'mudivrehem hu d'gazur. And if you're going to try to maintain that this is perhaps permissible according to biblical law, but prohibited according to rabbinic law, v'chi be'ezeh makom huzkara gzera zu b'Talmud. Where do you find any such ruling in the Talmud? Ve'ezu beit din nimnu aleha. What court made this kind of a decision? The phrase in the Sechet Kala that says that a Kala is not permitted to her husband until the bracha is performed, once he's decided on a full-fledged marriage ceremony, he then has to go through the entire ceremony. And for this reason, this particular ruling is listed in Masechet Kala. The idea of having a complete marriage is a mitzvah aseh. Okay, If a person engages in premarital sex with his fiance, perhaps he will be punished for this, because this was meant to be a full-fledged marriage, and a full-fledged marriage has certain forms and ceremonies, and therefore you're obligated to go through it. But if there was a mutual understanding between the two of them, that she was just going to be his mistress or his concubine, that she was not meant to be his private property and not prohibited to have relations with others and therefore not requiring a divorce, that's his permission. He's permitted to do this. Even though the language of the Rambam seems to indicate that only a king is allowed to have a concubine, and that is, by the way, the simple, straight reading of the Rambam, that's not what he really means. If a man simply fornicates with a woman but doesn't attach her to himself as his mistress, then that's he deserves to be beaten, to have stripes. So l'shem znut, and what is the meaning fornication? Haynu shapagaba uba'allah. That's where it was just a simple one-night stand, a simple act of sex without any commitment. V'lo yichdala atzmo l'shom filat shut. The haynu kadesha. In that situation where the woman was not identified as his concubine or as his mistress, then that's what is prohibited. Okay, so this is the Ramban's position, that a concubine or a mistress, as long as she is dedicated to this particular man and is known as being his mistress, there is no prohibition. Of course, this is a minority position amongst most of the authorities, and was later rejected by many authorities, but we will see later repercussions of this in Iran. And also, of course, what this indicates is the economic stratification in the Jewish community at the time. That is, for many women, it was better off to be a rich man's mistress than a poor man's wife. And therefore, we can learn a little bit from this. Well, this is not a situation in which he's dealing with an unusual case, but rather he's expressing his opinion, and he's obviously expressing it because of the social situation that he finds himself in Catalonia at the time. So therefore, this is well known as the Ramban's position. We'll see a bit later on that the Ram, a few generations later, has the same position, but the student of Iran, the Rivash, already strongly rejects this position. And of course, this kind of position would be completely unthinkable in Ashkenaz, as opposed to Sfarad. Okay, but this is a well-known position of the Ramban, that a mistress or a concubine is permissible.
A mistress have any financial rights?
No. Could not make any financial demands in the case of a separation. And there's no ketubah. But, on the other hand, as I said, it might very well be that a poor woman would prefer, you know, in a highly stratified, especially a highly economically stratified society, a poor woman might prefer to be a rich man's mistress than a poor man's wife. And she might, if she was a poor man's wife, be entitled to something when the man dies or divorces her, but be living a miserable life when they were together. So, it reflects an unpleasant but existing social reality.
You hear a lot about premarital sex. Did the Torah allow it, or the rabbi, can they use this as some kind of proof?
This is not premarital sex. This is sex with your mistress. Paramarital.
That's a good term. It's not extramarital. It's a form of secondary marriage.
It's a form of responsibility.
In fact,
there was no kiddushin involved.
There's no kiddushin involved, exactly.
So
but the woman.
Premarital sex
implies that there's going to be a marriage. We'll come to some cases of premarital sex in a little bit. But this is not premarital. A good word, as you say, is paramarital. And in fact, when we were studying the subject in detail many years ago, we pointed out that this concept of the pilegesh as the concubine or as the mistress in the time of the Ramban was quite different from the concept as it existed in the time of Avraham Avinu or even in the time of Gidon. In the ancient times, there were many, many different degrees of marriage. So,
children had rights.
Right, and what you seem to imply, though, it's not just paramarital, is not quite accurate because it says that it's okay so long as she's asura lachri.
No, she's not asura lachri.
She has to be known.
She has to be known as his mistress.
And the point of that is that to identify the paternity of the children.
That's right.
Does effectively have to be asura lachri. Otherwise, he's going to say, no, it's not my kid. She was actually with so and so also.
Whether she's asura or just is not having sex with someone else, I mean, there's no prohibition here. She does not require a get, for example. And according to his definition of what this pilegesh is, she does not require a get if she decides to break the relationship and go off with someone else.
Right.
But on the other hand, since she is not promiscuous, according to his opinion, what is prohibited is promiscuous sex, where you can't identify normally the paternity. After all, of a married woman also, you can't be 100% sure that the husband is the father of the child. So, the religious prohibition against extramarital sex doesn't guarantee the paternity of the child. But here what he's saying is that there is a social institution here in Catalonia at this particular time, which the Ramban, tries to identify with the notion of pilegesh as it existed, say, 1500 or 1000 years in BCE. And this is just simply historically inaccurate because there was a concept of various degrees of wifehood in Mesopotamian society.
But it may be useful to think of this as sort of a common law marriage, in that his financial obligations to her are not codified by law, not enforceable by them. Her exclusive obligations to him aren't codified.
Exactly.
No social way.
Exactly.
But in both directions, there is a compact between them.
There's a compact between them. But in contrast to the American view of common law marriage, where the woman does have certain financial rights, this is not the case here.
Right.
She cannot demand rights in court, but as you said, there's a compact between them.
It's an extra-legal marriage.
Okay. It's a pilegesh, but according to a new definition given to it by the Ramban.
It also seems as if the root interest here isn't in providing rights to a particular party, it's in avoiding prohibited relationships
when you don't
right,
know the
paternity. So the root is to avoid the total prohibited relationships, and so his concern
to avoid incest.
Is to prevent the ambiguity that could arise
exactly.
if we weren't sure about
that's
the paternity.
Right, that's
nothing to do with rights or finance.
That's nothing. There are no rights here, and there are no prohibitions, and there's no financial obligation. As I say, this is certainly not the majority view, but this is well known as the Rambam's view, and it must reflect the situation as he found it in Barcelona or wherever at that time.
The first wife cannot have any objection if her husband wants to take a concubine or a second wife.
We'll come to some cases of that. In general, no. Okay. All right, now there's a problem here, because not only were these mistresses or concubines a common feature, but remember there was also slavery, and therefore men could buy a slave girl, and there the problem becomes more complicated, because presumably the slave girl is not Jewish, and you could have Muslim slaves in Christian society or Christian slaves in Muslim society. So here, let's go to the next, pass now to the Rosh book and the Ramban. So that will be, what? Yes. Sheila. Okay, so this is, okay. Ruvain nasa isha bat tovim. Ruvain married a woman from a distinguished family. V'yalda lo bat, and she bore him a daughter. V'achakach takvo yitzro, v'kana shipcha. He had a strong urge and bought a slave girl. V'nitavro mimenu, shelo b'kidushin. And she became pregnant by him. V'kodem sheyalda, but before she gave birth, gira, he converted her. And after she gave birth, he didn't leave the slave girl, and he didn't leave his bad ways. And he sticks to his evil deeds. And she became pregnant from him a second time. Do you approve of this behavior?
No, she was converted.
He was married.
Oh, now she's a Jewish girl, so that's why it would be awesome.
It would be more prohibited if she wasn't a Jewish girl, but all of this is pretty bad. Do you approve of this behavior?
No,
I'm just wondering, I want to get your opinion on this. You seem to have checked.
Which is worse? Is she converted? Is it worse? Or is she not
converted? The case before, but
The difference between this case and the case before is that this was a slave girl. And now we have a problem of whether indeed she was set free, indeed was she converted, is the child Jewish, is the child not Jewish. All kinds of other complications come in. But remember, we're not dealing with the Ramban now, we're dealing with the Rashba, and the Rashba's views on this subject, certainly the authors, the people who wrote them this question, took a jaundiced view of this man marrying a girl from a good family and then sleeping with a slave girl. And I hope you don't approve of this behavior. You're expecting your official approval?
Well, they already made that determination. They called him a Russian.
Right, but you said you were asking why.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like
I'm not sure myself.
I see, okay.
I'm into the heat society.
Okay.
Why any worse than she's converted?
Ubahat ishto, and he repudiated his wife, the son Aloha Maspa Kapeha, and he hated her for no reason, no fault of her own. Vaganet bitomi shtoharishona. And he also did not pay attention to his daughter from his first wife. Hodienu, Hodieni, im chayavim hakahalim chodbiado ulagareshata amahazot. Must the community take action against this person, protest, and force him to get rid of this slave girl, afilu im kitsha, even if he actually married her. V'im nahagu b'achat memon kamot shelachem ligdor ha'lasot takanot al keyotze b'zeh, shelo yisa shum isha acheret al ishto. Have you ever heard of a ruling about a man not being allowed to take a second wife? Hodieni hechadin v'eich ra'uy lakahol linhog al inyan zeh. So some community, or it doesn't say from where, was writing to the Rashba on how to deal with this kind of a case. And there are many, many such cases because of the fact that there was slave traffic and there were attractive slave girls around. Tshuva. Shaninu b'yevamot perek ketzad hanit'an minav shepcha v'nishtachara. If a person was accused of having sexual relations with a slave girl and she was set free, or having sexual relations with a non-Jewish woman and she converted, lo yichnos, he should not marry, v'imkanas lo yotzi. But if they were already married, we don't force them to separate. At the outset, he should not marry this woman, because the scandal involved here, and it's an ugly phenomenon. Gam ki chash yesh b'zu shelo yinit gaira l'shem shamayim. Furthermore, there's a problem that this woman might not have converted for true reasons, but rather for personal benefit. El kedei shetinasei l'zeh. V'yatzat chata'in yesh b'nehem. And that this was a evil pact between them. Certainly this person who pushed aside the woman who was his beloved at the time of her marriage, the kines et zu hasnua, and brought in this despicable person. Shakol yodin kala zu lama nechnasa lacheder. Well, everybody knows why this woman was brought into the room. Ve'emin haro'ui libesh shivcha gvirta. And it's certainly not fitting that the slave girl should inherit the property of her mistress. Nusin ke'elu gomrim lahavila olam banim sorim amorim. And these types of marriages bring evil children into the world. While kenis mechapash chad sorer umorer levarita bashivya eshet yifatoa velechiti hiena la'ish shteina shimha achata uva ve'achat snua, etc. That's why these parshiyot were close to one another, because misbehaving children are the product of this type of sexual misbehavior. The asher amarto em yesh takana benoteinu al ki yotzei bazeh shelo yisa ish acheret al ishto chas v'shalom lo parat shum adam ki yotzei bazeh benoteinu. No, v'afilu kal shebekal liv b'biyad ramayim ha-shefcha l'gayra v'lisa. We've never had such a case that a man would marry his slave girl and push aside his wife. The altar sheds tears. He mentions the chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, which was of course in Ashkenaz. Ushnayim ushlosha yu ba'arzot ha'elu shenasu isha l'isha v'ishana machmas shelo ahem toladot min ha'ishana v'im kol zeh lo asu elo yachar kama piyusin. They only did this after they managed to assuage the first wife to allow it. V'im kol zeh lo ra'inu b'yachad mehem sha'ala zivugam yafeh. Then we never saw a situation in which there was a healthy outcome of this second marriage. You should figure out some way of forcing this guy to resume relations with his first wife. So it's a very unclear tshuva. He says that we don't have any ruling against the second marriage. He quotes Rabbeinu Gershom, but it's not clear whether he quotes him approvingly or disapprovingly, and says that we've not had any such trouble, but you should know how to handle this particular case. Okay. Right. Now we come to the next one, which is another tshuva of Ashba, which is cases, a type of which we studied many of several years ago, but let's review some of these here. And these are issues of blackmail and for false marriages and such. Okay? She'ela. So there are two tshuvot here, this one and the next one, both dealing with the same case. Reuven hotzi kol shekidesh et Leah. Reuven spread a rumor that he actually married Leah. Uva ba'akifin ad shehechdim shtar kiddushin ve'edim zuyafim. And he brought a fake document, a fake deed, claiming with falsified signatures. Ve'nitru'u lakahal. And he complained to the community that they should force Leah to, and it's not clear what he was demanding of Leah, whether he was demanding payment or what have you. And there was some dispute amongst the judges in town. That this should be treated as a monetary case. What kind of monetary demands, who was making on whom, isn't at all clear. And the Rashba, in his response, also can't quite figure out what exactly what the monetary demands are. But is this a monetary case so that each person chooses his own judge and then the two of them choose the third judge, which was the normal way of settling the dinei mamanot? אבל לא בדיני נפשות ולא בקידושין, אלא ויש מי שאומר שאין עסק לברירה, that this isn't the situation where the two sides choose the judges, אלא בדיני ממונות, אבל לא בדיני נפשות ולא בקידושין, אלא ילך ובין ויראה טענותיו לפני הברורים שנתמנו על תולנות העיר. He should appoint the he should bring his various evidence for the selectmen. Selectmen. The chosen ones. It's the same word in Hebrew as in English. The people that were chosen by the town to deal with these kinds of cases.
No lie at that time.
Hmm?
No lie at that time.
Thank God. The Hem Yuru im Mekudeshet lo, Kamosha Amarim Lav. Odo Dieni im Nomar Bazem Pihem Valomi Pikidaham, Vein Khatimat Edim Klumachi Agidu Bifihem. Furthermore, what status does a document signed by these witnesses have when they did not testify in court? Yashar shiyu mukshafim muzuyafim beidotam o nismoch al chatimatam kibishar shtar. Normally, in monetary cases, we rely on the signature of witnesses to a deed of sale or something like that. But here is a document where the witnesses are signed some statement that they saw something. What status does that have in a legal case? תשובה. מה שאמרת כי ראובן נתראים לקהל שיקופו את לאה שתשלים לו דין, when you ask that the ראובן is making certain demands on לאה, איני יודע על מה מתראים. I'm not quite sure what kind of demands he's making. ומה הוא אומר שתשלים לו? And what is he demanding that she fulfill? אם נתראים עליה מדין מובדת, if he is complaining that she is a rebellious wife, Lafisha Kotvin Igeret Mered Al Harusa, that she should be treated as a rebellious wife and therefore lose all her financial rights, and Yuroeshum Davabene Hemadain Shituchal Hilahav Sid Machsat Mirda. I don't see what she can lose here. Share Loka Tavla Ktuba Shetav Sid. There's no Ktuba present, so what is she going to lose? In other words, what kind of a financial claim is he making? She denies that any such wedding took place, marriage took place. So certainly it's not clear to me what kind of a financial claim he's making at all. If the issue is to decide whether or not she's married, let him bring his witnesses to court. I see that today there are many kinds of vicious men. And there's no one who's preventing this type of blackmail behavior to reprimand the evildoer for his actions. V'lomar l'mekalkel mekomo madua kacha asita uvnot Yisrael tznuotein, the daughters of Israel are modest, ela shahador menavlatam. Therefore, the court should investigate this thing thoroughly. Any court case requires thorough investigation. That in money cases they don't require detailed investigation of witnesses because otherwise you could never have any kind of financial transactions. Since she hasn't married someone else, you should definitely slam the door shut in the face of these kinds of blackmailers. In the case where there's reason to be suspicious of the statements of the claimants or the witnesses,
V'galsina and hatama papa amar ibi v'idi v'odot v'od kan b'din ne murma kan b'din she'ino murma v'abishon ben lakish v'abin shon lakish v'amiktib et tzedek tishvot amitecha v'abitziv tzedek 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 do ha'ketzat kan b'din murma kan b'din she'ino murma v'kol she'ken sh'ne efshar sh'divahem elu b'din ne nefashot ha'ul v'oroi lovo l'idein nefashot im tizkaki le'acher v'him gudeshet lo. So maybe indeed this is even should be treated as dinei nefashot and not as dinei chomonot. Ve'al edut she'amarta im makablin mipik tavam ein edut she'bishtar edut. The testimony that's written in a document is not testimony. Elo bishtar she'na'aseh midat ha'mitchayev. Only in the case where the document is written on behalf of the person who's willing to undertake the obligation. Kishtar makneh. שממנו אנו לומדים שנאמר וכתוב בספר וחתום בגומר שהמוכר סיבה לכתוב ולכתוב. That's where the seller has agreed to have the witnesses sign the deed וכן כל כיוצא בזה. אבל כל שטר שלא נעשה מרצון המתחייב, any kind of a document that was not written by on the command on the instruction of the person who undertakes the obligation, אינו אלא כפנקס בעלמא. ובנפיקתבם ולא מפיהם זו, וזהו שאמרו הודעה בפני שניים, וצריכה למה כתוב, שאם לא ציווה, אין לו לכתוב, אם כתבו שלא מדעתו, אין לדעתו עדות. So therefore he rejects this whole testimony, and so on. Let's go on to the next tshuva, which is basically a continuation of this unpleasant case. What's the problem?
We don't really know what this was about. Why the argument is.
Well, he was obviously trying to blackmail this woman. In other words, get her to pay him money to divorce her. I mean, that's obviously what's underlying the case here. He has no financial claims against her. She doesn't want to live with him. He's going to not be married to her in any event. This is one of several cases in which, and we'll see several more, in which the man is trying to take advantage of the woman to be able to extract some kind of blackmail. And we'll see it in the continuation of this case. Sha'alta. Ruven sh'amal kidashti et dina. V'dina omeret me'olom lo nekidashti lo. V'ta'an Ruven ki Shimon v'Levi edim. That he claims that Shimon and Levi are witnesses to this. Uvo Shimon v'Levi v'yamur lo ha'yu dvarim me'olam. Shimon v'Levi come and deny that they're witnesses. V'chazar v'ta'an she'yehuda v'nyamin ha'yu edim. That the next two people were witnesses. Yesh v'yado chatimatan. ועוד שיחה ממתן שהעידו שבפניהם כדאי